Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is truly a day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God that He has allowed us to come together one more time. And for that, I say thank you. God is truly in the blessing business. And I thank each and every one of you that took time out of your schedule to come as we explore the Word of God together. It is God's will that we grow in grace and His knowledge so that we could strengthen ourselves. Our growing in the Word of God does not make God more God, but it helps us and guide us and protect us and strengthen us in the journey that we are facing in our daily lives. God is truly in the blessing business. And I want each and every one of you to know that God honors what you do on Wednesday night, because you're letting Him know that you're seeking Him. And He said, whoever seek me, I will make sure I'm found, because I'm everywhere at the same time. Hallelujah. We have to give God the glory, the praise, and the honor, because He's worthy. And that's why we were created. When we think about doing what is right in the sight of God, obedience is how we show God that we are serious about Him. A simple act of you coming on Wednesday night, week after week after week, is telling God where your heart and your mind is. And He honors that. So I want to let everybody know, I thank God for each and every one of you. And I pray that you come on Wednesday night with a spirit of expectancy, expecting God's word not to return void, expecting illumination and revelation from the Holy Spirit, and that the knowledge you receive, you just don't just hear it, but you become a doer of what the word of God says. Graham tonight is coming from the book of Matthew's, and we're going to expound on the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 11. I pray that each and every one of you had time in your busy schedule to be able to explore the printed text. It was chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Matthew's. The reason that I give that information out, so when we get together on Wednesday, you can have some knowledge of what is about to be expounded upon. The title of our lesson is Jesus Begins the Work That His Father Sent Him to Do. At this time, I'm going to play a song. This song was sent to me by one of our listeners, Sister Maddie. She thought it would be appropriate to go along with the lesson. And it was a song that she imagined could uplift you and settle you and give you peace and strengthen your joy and increase your faith. So at this time, I'm going to play the song. Once the song is completed, we're going to explore the word of God together. Be blessed. Be prayerful for our Bible study. Be prayerful for one another.
You are going to pay your bills.
behind the eyes. Go down on Skid Row and look how blessed you are. A miracle is that supernatural gift that only God can give. When you look at me, you're looking at a miracle. 3 years ago, one of the members in my church who rides along in the scooter because she couldn't walk. And I saw her in the mall. I said, Sister Deborah, God told me that he's going to heal you.
And I want you to know that you can never receive it if you just don't believe it. You know, God is truly in a blessing business, and that was Shirley Caesar. And as she sung the song, "You're next in line for your miracle," I want to let you know you don't have to think of this big thing, the pie in the sky. You have to realize that every day that God allows you to open your eyes, it's a miracle. If you have children and your children is healthy and doing some of the things they need to do, it's a miracle. So you'll say, Sister Diane, huh? Could that be a miracle? Look around. Look at the 8 o'clock news. Your child wasn't on the news. Your child wasn't in a documentary going to jail. Hallelujah. Your miracle might not be what someone else needs. But you have to open your eyes and see the blessings that God is bestowing on you. It could be a job. It could be a car. It could be a home. Whatever God give you, he don't have to do it. because he does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. So everything he do for you is tailor-made for you. And it's a miracle from him. And a miracle is something that you can't do for yourself. So you have to just look at the blessings that God is bestowing upon each and every one of us, day in and day out. She said, go to the hospital and see if you're a miracle. Go drive down the road and see the homeless living in tents under the bridge and realize you're a miracle. We have to realize and thank God for what he has done, is doing, and promised to do in our lives. Remember, God is in, truly in the blessing business. And we have a lot of more callers that has called in. So I'm going to repeat that we are coming from the book of Matthew's, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 11. And the title of our lesson is, Jesus begins the work that his Father sent him to do. As always, we do background, and I thought it would be appropriate tonight to do background. And the title of the background for us tonight is, Who is Satan? Typically, human beings have a wide variety of views on Satan. Some people think him as a silly, cartoonish character with a pointy tail and horns, while others think of him as a force or an abstract concept of evil. The Bible gives us a very clear picture of who Satan is and who he is not, what he is like, and his goals and aims concerning humanity. So I want to put it in a nutshell for you right now. Satan was once a holy angel who fell from heaven because of a desire to take by force God's power. And he is now God's enemy who opposes him, his purpose, and his people with every ounce of his considerable strength. And you have to know tonight that he has limited power. When he was kicked out of heaven, one third of the angels left with him. Could you believe that? They was with God and full of glory. And they say, you know, the Bible talks about the streets paved with gold, and everything was all right and everything was hottie-hottie. And one-third decide to leave. You see, Satan is real, and his aim is to kill, steal, and destroy everyone and everything that is good. So when we look in the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about Satan, Ezekiel in the 28th chapter, verses 12 through 14, we get a description of Satan as one of the angels that had high rank and much beauty. He had a powerful position because he was like the choir director. But he began to think more of himself than he should have. However, he became proud of his beauty and position, and for some reason decided that he wanted to take God's place and sit on the throne as the highest being. I don't even know how he could imagine that that would work. But just like some of us in our lives, some of the things we have done and some of the things we are doing and some things we think about, I don't even understand how we could even imagine that that would work. But today, Satan is the ruler of this world. I have a lot of people that's in conflict with me every time I say that. Satan is the ruler of this world, and he is called the prince of the power of the air. Check it out in John 12:31. You could even look in 2 Corinthians 4:4. And if that's not enough for you, go to the book of Ephesians. Go to the 2nd chapter and look at the 2nd verse. You see, Satan is in control of the world. God is allowing him to have this little fling. But Satan can't do nothing but what God allow him to do. Check out the book of Job. Every time Satan got ready to do something else to Job, he went to God and asked for permission. And that's how it is with you. God does not allow Satan to do anything to you that he doesn't want to happen to you. You see, Satan is also called the accuser, Revelation 12 chapter. He tempts humans to sin against God, as he did, and he deceives humanity about the truth, especially the truth about God. You know, that's what happened in the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter, with Eve and Adam. Hallelujah. You see, he lies about God's character and God's purpose. God ain't worrying about that. You don't need to be all of that. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to give the church none of your money. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. That ain't what God said. But you see, that's the trick of the devil. He lies about God's character and God's purpose. He tells fallen humanity that it can save itself without God's grace. You see, anybody who don't accept the grace of God is saying that they could make it on their own. Now, I don't know if they making it on their own, deciding that they're going to get to heaven any kind of way, or that there is what a lot of people think, that there is no hell. God loves his people so much, why would he allow them to go to hell? But it's a choice. And he does all he can to separate us from God and undermine God in our eyes using his power of deception. You know, we're not afforded the privilege to make it up as we go and think it's all right with God. Now, if you want to make it up as you go, you do it, but don't put God in the equation. Because when you're doing everything you thought you was big and bad enough to do, and how you wanted to do it, when you wanted to do, what you didn't want to do, and all of these things, you leaving God out anyway. You see, Satan always tried to get us to accept his perception. If we are not careful, after a while, we will accept his perception as truth, and it becomes our reality. But, you know, plenty of realities, people's reality is sometimes only real to them. Actually, the name Satan means adversary, or one who is opposed. He is also known as the devil, which means slanderer. He's the author of lies, and he's the tempter. Satan is behind all the false religions, false teachers, cults, and all false gods and lies that pull people away from the Lord. Satan disguised himself as an angel of light, which makes his deception all the more powerful to attract those that don't have a foundation. However, despite his plans, this is the good news, y'all, and all his efforts, Satan's destiny is irrevocably sealed. He will lose, will never win, and he will spend eternity in the lake of fire. That same book of Revelation 20 chapter. You see, the victory will never be his. Satan can only do to you what you allow, because if he could do more, he would. I come to tell you tonight, stop giving the devil so much credit. We always seem to say things like, the devil is busy when things go wrong. But we must evaluate ourselves and see if we played a part in it. sometime, maybe, it's a test from God. God is using some things and allowing things in your life to mature you. And that's something that's of God. Or sometimes it's just life circumstances that God allows. Like Hurricane Katrina, it just didn't wet the sinners. Life circumstance that God allows. But you got to know, even in him allowing it, he looks at you because you're his, and he work it out together for you, for your good. Plenty of things that happen in our life is self-inflicted, caused by us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there has no temptation taken you but such as common to man. You know, that's the scripture people really be quoting, but they quote it halfway. You know, they always say, God don't give you no more than you could bear. That's not in the Bible, but the scripture that they associate that saying to is, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. It's saying that ain't nothing going to happen to you. What happened to you ain't already done happened. God said there's nothing new under the sun. So what he's saying, you know, many might have had and been in the same situation that you've been in, and I know everybody don't come up the same way and come out the same way, but he's saying right here, but he said, I am faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with this temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. With that being said, stop speaking to God about how big Satan's temptations are, but start speaking to the temptations about how big your God is. And that's the background tonight. If anyone would like to know those scriptures again, you could ask at the end of the program, or you could call a prayer line, and I'll be able to give you the scriptures where you could find it in the Bible and read it for yourself. We're going to go ahead now and start expounding on the word. For those who have your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew. It's the first book in the New Testament. And we're going to start in the fourth chapter, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. And the scripture reads as follows. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered. 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And verse 4 says, but he answered and said, talking about Jesus, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So when you saw that and you see that, the mouth of God, the words that's proceeded out the mouth of God is the Holy Bible. You know, the Bible was written by man, but it was inspired by God. God used 40 men from all walks of life to inspire them to write the 66 books in the Bible. You see, where this verse starts, I have to go back, and that's why I sent you to the third chapter, because Jesus had just been baptized by John the Baptist, who thought he was not worthy to baptize Jesus. And he said, John the Baptist, I need to be baptized of thee. When Jesus came out of the water, the heavens was open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God ascending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And, you know, right after Jesus got baptized, now, when this happened, Jesus is about 30 years old. And, you know, in the Bible, we see where he was born in Bethlehem. And then we see when he went to Jerusalem with his parents and he stayed behind and he was in a synagogue talking and teaching, and he was 12 years old. Now, this is now, we just now begin to see him again. And that's why I say the title of the lesson is Jesus Begins the Work that His Father Sent Him to Do. So, he got baptized. Immediately after he got baptized, he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. And then that's where Jesus was tempted. Here we see that Jesus wasn't tempted inside of the temple or at his baptism, but in a devil where he was tired, alone, and hungry, and as Satan thought most vulnerable. He didn't know that fasting with the right intent strengthen you. You see, all these people go on fast. They say, oh, we're going to do a 21-day fast. We're going to do a 30-day fast. But you got to have the right intentions when you do that to get the most necessary things that you're seeking from God for abstaining for that period. Not just because somebody else say do it. Not just because you want to be seen as doing it. But you see, Satan didn't know all of that. Because you see, he didn't know that Jesus, after fasting, was going to be stronger and have more power than when he went in. You see, this is the same way that Satan often tempted us when we are vulnerable, when we are under physical or emotional stress. As an example, when you are lonely, are you tired, are you weighing a big decision or faced with some uncertainties of life, like debt when you're grieving. See, that's when he liked to get you, because he's a chump. You see, Satan causes us to worry, which brings in fear, which is not of God, and fear, which is sometimes only the evidence of something that appear to be real. I'll say that one again. Fear is something that is only, that fear is something only, let me back it up. Let me see how I'm going to say this. Fear comes in and take you over, and sometimes the thing that you was most scared about didn't even happen. Because you see, fear, when it comes in, it gives you the evidence of something that may only appear to be real plenty times in our mind. How many times would you fearful about a situation that turned out not to be what you thought? Y'all know who've been with me a long time. My motto is, I do not panic until it's time. But he also tempts us through our strengths, where we are most susceptible to pride and self-accomplishment. Sometimes your strength makes you believe you did it all by yourself without the help of anyone or anything. And that's just self-righteousness. I did it on my own. I'm a self-made woman. I'm a self-made man. You know, I used to say that. I ain't going to tell no lie. You know, when I was coming up, you know, not being raised by a mother and, you know, and things like that. And, you know, thinking out of a child's eyes, a young person's eyes, with not enough, insight or evidence. And, you know, you're making it in life, and you feel like it's a struggle, and you're on your own. And, you know, and you say, you know, I'm self-made. And one time the Spirit spoke to my heart, my mind, my body, and soul, and explained to me that God was the creator, and there was no one that made themselves. And I began to understand that. Because if I was thinking that, then that was self-righteousness, which is a sin. You see, here we see that Satan has nothing new to offer. He only has one bag of tricks that he uses over and over and over again. There is nothing new for him, and he is only faking it, trying to make it. You know, plenty of times in our lives, you see what they call generational curses. If a person lived in a house and they were on welfare, and, you know, I believe if you're on welfare and, you know, you loving on your mom and she's doing the best you can and she's on welfare, you know, you think welfare is okay. And I'm not saying anything is wrong with welfare, because it was, you know, God put it on the hearts of a man to make up the welfare system to help his people. But the point I'm saying is he'll use what you've been used to seeing to try to get you to really believe it's all right for you to start that way and not, you know, try another way sometimes. You see, that's the way he do. You know, and Satan can only use the tricks of the world. And the Bible teaches us that the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And none of this is of God, but it's all of the world. You see, Satan used the world tactics over and over again. The flesh. You know, sin dwells in our flesh, y'all know. Your spirit ain't never asked you for certain things that the flesh desires from you daily. The flesh. You know, he just used that because that's all he could use. You see, Jesus knew that food was important, but he had allegiance to God. And he knew God was greater. You see, this temptation by the devil proves to us that Jesus was human. Y'all got to know this, because if I say this is where Jesus began his ministry and began doing the work that his Father sent him, when you read these verses, you're going to see how God was setting it up. God, and I said earlier, the Spirit led Jesus in the wilderness, because God knew he was there waiting to tempt him. But you got to see how God's plans all unfold. So when Jesus was hungry, and the Bible said he was hungry, Satan knew he was hungry. But that showed us that he was totally human and totally divine. Hallelujah. You see, this gave Jesus the opportunity to affirm God's master plan for his ministry. He's fixing the start, y'all. You see, temptation is not a sin. We sin when we give in and disobey God. Satan can only put the thought in your mind, and a thought in and of itself is not the problem, but what you do with the thought once you receive it. You see, Satan always uses the if game. He told Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, or if God really love you, why he allowed certain things to happen in your life, certain things that happen to your loved ones or on your job or your finances and even your health. Your health. You know, that's how people turn it back, because if Jesus loved me, if God loved me like he said, do why he let my mama die. And it often amazed me because a person who be saying that is 70 years old, still have a mother. The mother is now 95, and she died. And a 75-year-old person, 70-something-year-old person, turned their back on God because he let her die. When they have women that die in childbirth, and the child never even get to look upon their mother's face. But they say, why me? And earlier we said there's no temptation that can happen, and nothing that can happen to you is not common to man. You see, when he comes to us with the if game, just do what Jesus did. Use the word of God, which is our strength. And he said to Satan, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And if we look at verse 5, 6, and 7, and it said, we're back in the Bible, then the devil taken him up to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. That's what Satan's trying to get him, y'all. But Jesus turned around in verse 7 and he says, it is written, thou shalt not tempt God. And, you know, plenty of times God has been so good to us, and really, you know, he's long-suffering till we believe that we can continue to do the things that we're doing, and by us expecting that he still have to do, you know, all the things he said he would do for us. It's like tempting him. Like, I'm going to do it my way, and I expect you to do it your way. So you tempting God. Just do what is right because it's the right thing to do. Because you don't know the plan of God. You don't fully know God's will. You don't know when God is going to allow the wrath to come on you. That's why the Bible teaches, choose you this day. Because you don't know what's in store tomorrow. God does. You see, again we see even Satan knows scripture, and he tried to tempt Jesus with them. God is not our musician in the sky, ready to perform on request. Satan will give you a scripture, but never the fullness of it. You know, let's think about it. Why should Jesus cast himself down, which would tempt God to respond and rescue him? Jesus said again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Satan was telling Jesus, do this and see if what the scripture says is true. The Bible says God never tempt us, but he does test us. You see, Jesus knew who he was and what the scripture really said and means. See, that's why they tell us in 2 Timothy 2 and 15 that we have to study for ourselves. Because people can tell you anything. And you got half truth. And you got misquoted scriptures. You see, Satan wanted Jesus to become prideful and show he could make God do what he wanted him to do. When he wanted him to do it, and how he wanted him to do it. You see, we are not to tempt God by doing our own thing, our own way, thinking God has to respond or deliver what we want or think he should or when we want it from him, and even how. You see, our prayer should be not my will, but thy will, O Lord. That's what we have to say. When you go to God in prayer, you're only making a petition. You trust God, you believe God, but if you truly respect the will of God, well, any kind of way that outcome comes out, you should be able to lift up holy hands, say hallelujah, and say it is well. You see, God is in total control, and we shouldn't forget it. Any way that the Lord decide to respond, we should keep it moving. This is the same way in which Satan gets us to sin sometimes with misquoted scriptures and non-truthful statements. Sometimes people will present attractive and convincing reason why we should try something we know is wrong. Many times the wrong that you do was not your thought, and it wasn't thought by you. I know the habits that I've had in my life wasn't nothing I sat down and thought about, and it was presented. And don't get me wrong, nobody forced you to do anything, but it was presented. So you have to be careful about that. You see, part of the problem in the world today is the way in which the Bible is interpreted. People always find a way to make a scripture support their point of view or even their habits. Wrong is not made right for you, and there is no right way to do wrong. People usually tell the story that best fit what they want the listener to believe about them, the story that makes them feel the best about themselves. You see, study the Bible carefully for yourself, especially the broader context of specific verses. You can understand God's principles for living and what he wants you to do for him and what you need him to do for your life. If you don't study for yourself, you will only have the interpretation and the opinions of others. Only if you really understand what the Bible says, you will be able to recognize error of interpretation when people take verses out of context and twist them to say what they want them to say. Every other religion, Muslim, Jehovah's Witness, they started with God's Holy Bible. They took out what they wanted that they didn't want to be a part of, put a little bit of what they wanted in it, and went to press. The Quran. Allah didn't sit there and think of the 66 books and write them all. They used God's holy word and made it fit their agenda. God, who has provided us with the Holy Ghost for illumination and revelation of the scriptures, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost can give new revelation of what you have put in. When the Holy Ghost uses everything that you have put in you concerning God, and when the right time comes in your hour of need, when you're weak and when your bill's not paid, he'll give you a scripture that'll strengthen you. But the Holy Ghost can only illuminate what has already been placed in. Little in, only little could come out. And if we look at the last scriptures, verses 8, 9, and 10, they say, again, the devil taketh him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory in them. Verse 9, and he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Verse 10 said, Jesus come at him right now. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve. 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels did come, and they ministered unto him. Hallelujah. So when you're going through something, you being tempted, do as Jesus did, quote the scriptures. You see, sin make promises it can never deliver. And if you receive any pleasure from sin, I come to tell you it's very short-lived. If we look around and see the effects of sin, you will notice the pattern. Satan will set you up, use you up until you hit rock bottom in the sin, no matter which sin it is. Then he drops you like a hot potato. He leaves you high and dry to handle the outcome by yourself. He then moves to the next willing participant because you're now exposed. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Jesus knew that the devil did not have the power to give him the kingdoms of the world or anything else because he came but to kill, steal, and destroy. But you see, Satan, the prince of the world, based his offer on his temporary control and free reign over the earth because of humanity. Sinfulness. Satan was using the sin of the lust of the eyes here to entice Jesus. How many times I've heard ladies say it, you know, and it kind of became a hip saying. You know, I was a little bit older, so I had to figure out what they were talking about. You know, they might see a man walking down the street and they say, oh, that's eye candy. They don't know all what's entailed, involved, you know, with this person. They can only lust what they see with their eyes. And, you know, men have a habit of looking at women, you know, and they see what they see. They can't see the heart. At that point, they don't even know the character. And they're ready to make a move. You see, the devil offered the whole world to Jesus as if Jesus would only bow down and worship him. Jesus again used the word of God, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. Come on, y'all. And him only shall you serve. You have to know it to use it. If you don't have any words, you can't use it. Today, the devil offers us the world by things to entice us with material things, vain glory, and even limited power. Hallelujah. How many people think they done reached the pinnacle? Like Satan tried to put Jesus on a high pinnacle. They reached the pinnacle, but soon one thing happened, everybody turned their back on them, and that power they thought they have is no more. You see, we fill our day with many distractions, and we are so busy that we don't have time for the things of God. I want to tell you tonight, God has created and allowed 24 hours to be in a day. And God knew how much he wanted us to do for him. Because, you know, a couple of weeks ago I taught, if you take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. If you take care of God's business first, he'll take care of yours. So if God allowed the 24-hour system to be in place, he must have known that's enough time in there for you to do the things of God. and also do the things for yourself. Take care of your family, create a living, you know, and things like that. Because if God thought that 24 hours a day was not enough time, he would have made a day be 36 hours. So you see, when we go before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, and he said, what have you done for me lately? Anybody who tried to state that, you know, I would have, but I just didn't have enough time. And God won't accept that. You see, and there's other people who are so busy with the spiritual things that they are no longer earthly good. You got to have balance. You may be spiritual. You may be so spiritual that you believe that you have arrived, which will allow pride to step in, and you are now living in self-righteousness. Not the righteousness of God. There's a difference. You see, there's church work and there's work of the church. You got to make sure what you're doing. You see, we're not afforded the privilege to make it up as we go. This is a place where Satan loves for us to be in. God wants us to have balance in all things, not some things. He didn't create us to be one dimension, one-sided. Jesus understood God's purpose, God's will, and God's plan. And he knew God operated in his own timing. And the lesson I'm telling you now, Jesus getting ready to do the work that the Father had sent him. He's fixing to walk out boldly in his ministry. You see, Jesus was 30 years old, but he waited until God said so. And we have to learn to wait on God. You see, God inspired man to write the Bible and allow these scriptures to be included. If Satan tempted Jesus, what do you think his plans are for you? And as I close, always remember this. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5 and verse 8, the scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Jesus' victory in each aspect of the temptation is related to Jesus' use of the scripture. The word of God is our victory for all areas of our lives. You have to believe it to achieve it. And that's our lesson for tonight. And if anybody have any comments, anybody would like to pray, need encouragement, I have a caller. Your number is 904-609. Your mic is open. Brother Alex, I think this is. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello?
Maybe he pressed the button by mistake. If anyone else would like to pray, want to add something to the lesson, want to make a comment, hallelujah, now is the time. God is affording the opportunity. Anyone need prayer? Anyone want us to pray for anyone? Anyone would like to pray at this time? You could press the one button on your phone. Well, it is now 9:27, and the switchboard has not lit up except the one error. So at this time, We're going to go ahead and do a benediction and close out for tonight. It is my prayer that each and every one of you heard something that can perk your interest and you could decide to revisit what we said, because the Holy Ghost has some newness for you. See, I read the scriptures, and this is what I came up with, you know, with research and with study, and this is the way I presented it. But the word has so many facets. You could read one scripture, and you could get more, and I'm not going to say interpretation, but people take it for their need. I'll give an example. You know, sometimes you go to church and on Sunday and the word went forward, and sometimes you walk out and somebody say, that word was just for me, because whatever they have to say. And you go a little further and somebody say, oh, yeah, that word was just for me because this way. And that's how they perceived it, because you got to remember it. God uses the men and women of God to bring the word, and he know how he knows what you have asked for, and the way it's presented, it can fit you, but not just you. Everyone who heart he softened, everyone ear he opened, and everyone he lift up their eyelids so they can truly see what the word of God is saying. So that being said, I pray that each and every one of you got something that you can use and hold on to and explore even more for yourself. Remember, God is in the, and if it's the Lord's will, we'll be back on next Wednesday. Same place, same time. So the benediction for the night, y'all know, is my favorite, coming from 2 Peter 3rd chapter and 18th verse. And the scripture reads, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That was Peter saying right before he was going to be crucified. Peter wrote 1 and 2 Peter, and it's amazing that's what he ended his writing with before he was crucified upside down for following Christ. So I take it very serious that Peter was telling you, y'all, look, you know, if I could tell you anything, and this is probably the last thing I'm going to tell you, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want you to know the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ is the word of God. So to each and every one of you, I tell you tonight, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. And your day will get brighter. Your joy will become more full. Hallelujah. You will begin to have patience. You'll be long-suffering with one another. You have a forgiving heart towards one another. Because the scripture is going to tell you how God forgave you. And you wanted and that forgiveness so much. And yet you hold it back from others. The scripture tell you how to be gentle with one another. Be concerned about one another. So grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's our program for tonight. And I pray that God be with us until we meet again. God loves you, and so do I. Be blessed.